theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
What's up, everybody? How are you doing today, Quinn?
Good. How are you, my love?
I'm good. My brain's a little bit blown. I've been going down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I think it's very complex, and I'd love to have a discussion about it because it is so complex.
Sounds great. I'm excited about it.
It's very strange to me. So as many of our listeners have heard, we have been discussing non-fungible tokens for quite some time now.
Yep.
And we have been learning about them quite a lot. Yeah. And there's been one that just came out recently, which was a partnership with Nifty Gateway and Sotheby's Auction House. Very well-known, very successful auction house at that. And they did a partnership with this company, this individual called PAK, P-A-K. And he's created this collection called the Fungible Open Edition Collection. And I've never seen anything like this before. And I'm trying to make sense of it.
Well, I'm excited. So we've got Sotheby's and Nifty Gateway, which is basically Gemini, right?
Yeah, it's owned by Gemini, the Winklevoss twins. They took ownership of Nifty Gateway. And they've been doing a pretty good job of making these massive drops of these non-fungible tokens, and this one's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Well, I really can't wait to learn about it.
So, as you know, and some, maybe some of our listeners know as well, Nifty Gateway, they do a drop, usually just one a day. They do it at a specific time, and then some of them are open editions, so however many people want to purchase the non-fungible token during that period of time, that's how many of those non-fungible tokens are minted.
Right.
So, if 100 people purchase an open edition, then there's going to be 100 created. If only 3 people purchase it, then there's only 3 created.
Yeah.
So you could see how that makes a difference based on the price. So if it's a $10,000 non-fungible token, you can confidently bet that they're not going to make a lot of them if it's open edition.
Right.
Then there's also the silent auctions where people put in their secret bid, and then usually they'll have like 10 editions or so many of them, and then that's how many they look at the highest bids, top 10, and then they issue those non-fungible tokens to those individuals.
How interesting. Yeah, so this is basically also with the open editions, there's a certain amount of time that people have to actually get the NFT, right? So sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15, sometimes it's 30. So they kind of change that up. So I just think that's an interesting part of it,
I mean, the whole thing's kind of gamified. I mean, maybe we should just talk about Nifty Gateway. I kind of just realized like there's so much that we could go over with it,
because
it is
true.
Like a whole ordeal that includes getting people kind of excited, and my concerning word is hyped on getting involved in it. And it becomes really difficult to distinguish what is hype and what is not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they basically have people who are called producers at Nifty Gateway who basically they go out into the world and they try to find artists. And sometimes they find artists and musicians to collaborate together and create a collection. Or sometimes they'll just go after a specific artist. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the artist is really well known and sometimes they're not really.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of the cool part of it. It's kind of, you know, it's random. And so a lot of times, you know, what you're saying about like, is it hyper or is it real? That's kind of difficult to do. And some people just go for people who are well known. Right.
Yeah.
So there are artists like DJs have had a lot of collections on Nifty Gateway, for example.
Yeah.
Steve Aoki did one, Blau did one. And they actually usually partner with an artist and they create a song or a portion of a song to go with the art.
Yeah. And usually those art pieces are like moving animations,
right?
Like some kind of 3D. I haven't seen a Nifty that was based with an actual human being on Nifty Gateway. There's maybe a couple, but you do see those more often on alternative websites that you can buy Nifties from. They're a little bit more complicated, those websites, because it's more like a free open market. It's like eBay more so than Nifty Gateway, which is like, here, we're announcing this is the drop today. Participate if you would like to. This is from the actual artist like that you know, quite often, like if you're into electronic music or if you're into the art scene,
yeah,
these guys are like quite famous, and yeah, they do like a big marketing thing with it. And so there's a little bit of like safety that comes with that because you're kind of getting the baloney out of the way.
Right,
on
yeah.
On eBay, you could pretend you're anyone, but then at some point it should come out whether it was the real person or not. And
right,
because it's open market, anyone can do it. But on Nifty Gateway, you have to be accepted.
Right.
There's an application process.
Exactly. So you can either get recruited by a producer at Nifty Gateway, or you can submit your application. And it's pretty extensive, the application, but it's mm-hmm. really, I think that's kind of a unique aspect of Nifty Gateway, is that they not only create these, you know, drops essentially, mm-hmm. that's like, you have to be there in this moment at the time. And then, and if you don't, then okay, you have to go to a marketplace, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But you know, it's that vetting process that, you know, you're actually getting the real deal from the artists themselves,
right.
And you can actually see, you know, their website if they have one, or the Instagram and whatnot. And there's like a lot of different data that you can kind of go into on mm-hmm. Nifty Gateway to try to see, you know, do I think that this is actually valuable? You know, there's a bunch of things you have to consider, and then ultimately, do you actually like it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we went over, there's open edition, which means there's it opens at a certain time and it closes at a certain time. And however many people buy that during that period of time for the amount that's
offered,
you know,
yeah,
offered right there, that's how many are minted. And then that's right. done.
Yep.
And then there's,
and then they'll never make that item again.
Exactly.
So you got, at the end of it, when it's closed, they'll say there have been 65 created and you own number, you know, 7 out of 65.
Yeah.
I think that part's random. It doesn't matter what time you push, I'm purchasing this. They randomize which number edition
yeah,
you get.
Right, the serial number.
Nowadays, the number itself, like 1 of 67 or 4 of 67, they actually make a difference in the value of it.
Yeah, in the secondary marketplace. So you've got
yes.
the open editions, you've got the silent auctions, which is like, usually the silent auctions are reserved for really high value or high
yeah,
ticket priced,
like very
NFTs.
Few items.
Exactly.
The most I've seen in a silent auction is like 10 or 15.
Right. Exactly. So it's super low, but it costs a lot more. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these drawings too. So
yeah.
that's another aspect that's interesting that Nifty Gateway is really using to gamify this
exactly.
platform.
Yeah. So the drawings are a minimum. The least I've ever seen it was $1, and you're not throwing down a dollar. You're saying, if I win the drawing, I will buy this piece of art for $1.
Right.
And I've seen the drawings go as high as like $10,000.
Yep.
So we should probably talk about the pricing of things. So since 2021, and NFTs have been such a major conversation piece all over the news globally.
Yep.
I mean, it's all over. Like I saw it on the Today Show. Like it's getting everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a big, big conversation piece now. So considering it's been getting so much attention, the prices have jumped significantly on Nifty Gateway. And so if you want to get involved in owning your own NFT from Nifty Gateway, it's very rare for us now to see anything that goes for like under $350.
Yep.
On average, I'd say like if you want to play the game, like get a couple NFTs, you're probably looking at like a starting price of like $500.
Yeah.
And then the pricing goes up insanely. I mean, I've seen that there's some pieces right now that are online that are a part of a live auction. So it's an ongoing auction over a couple days. And these pieces are currently being bid for like $1.44
yeah.
million dollars.
That's crazy. Yeah. So the live auctions are usually like really for the more rare ones. So
yeah.
there's maybe only like 3 of them or 5
right.
of them. And that, I mean, they're assuming they usually give it about 24 hours
mm-hmm.
at least
yeah.
For the live auction to continue. You can see it because obviously it's a part of the blockchain. So you
yeah.
can see every single person who bids. And so that goes on longer than all the others. But with the drawing, you know, if it's a dollar, or usually I think we've been seeing like $100 or $300
mm-hmm.
for some like lower, you know, I mean, basically with a drawing, it tells you how many are already minted.
Right.
Right. So you'll see like, okay, there's 500 of this.
Yep.
The drawing is $100. You say it's a there's a time period where you have to enter the drawing though too.
So that's about 15 minutes.
That's about 15 minutes. So you can go in, you can say, okay, yeah, reserve my spot, or I want to be a part of the drawing. You click that, and then it takes you to the checkout area. And you, if it's $100, you say, okay, yeah, I'm,
if I win this,
I will pay $100.
And usually, because the drawings are like rare, they don't create too many editions. If it's in a drawing, they end up being worth significantly more than what you end up paying if you entered the drawing.
Right.
And there's a lot of people, like sometimes it'll be like $1 for the NFT, and then you get it, and then all of a sudden there's only 10 of that NFT, and it can go up to the tens of thousands. So essentially it's kind of like they are like giving away money in a strange sense.
Yeah. So that's like, that's basically the summary of the drops, right? And they do, like you said, they have like usually one a day
They have at least one a day. Sometimes they'll do two. Sometimes they'll do multiple artists, but the drop will be at the same time. So then you have to decide, which artist do I want to prioritize? Because if the window cap of open editions is only 5 minutes, then it's very difficult for you to go back and forth to every single one really quickly and make sure that you get all of those purchased. And it's very, very fast. I have to say their website overall is doing pretty well.
Yeah. At first, I mean, we've been basically engaging with Nifty Gateway for a while. And at first there were quite a few bugs, but I think that they've worked through a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the case overall with a lot of the platforms, is that, especially when you have things like a drop where it's like all of a sudden the website is being flooded in with people at a certain, like at a really, you know, condensed period of time. So you've got the drops, but then you've also got the marketplace. So you can actually, like John said, when you get the, if you get the drawing, for example, you know, your card gets charged $100
and then now, card.
And then you get it into your account. And then with that, you can actually publicly post, you know, this is for sale, and you can pick whatever number you want, really. Some people pick like really crazy numbers, basically way overvalued, so no one's going to actually buy them. And but some people say that theirs isn't listed for sale.
Or they say, I'm accepting offers. And then someone can just say what they're willing to pay. And depending on the number you get, because I would say in general, if it's the first one of however many are created, let's say for one of 100, those are going to go up. Those are going to be worth way more than, you know, number 74.
Right.
You know, so it varies. The price range can jump, and it's very volatile. I don't even want to call it an investment at this point.
Yeah.
Though we are viewing quite a lot of individuals who have been involved in the Bitcoin world and the Ethereum world that are viewing NFTs as serious investments.
Right.
And the very first NFT that has really gotten a lot of attention is the CryptoPunks.
Yeah.
And those CryptoPunks are now, I think the minimum you can get one for is like $16,000.
That's so crazy. And that does, that's basically converting the Ethereum price, because most of the original NFTs, and most NFTs actually, are priced in Ethereum. And that's, I think, one unique thing about Nifty Gateway, is that they don't actually require you to purchase NFTs with cryptocurrency if you don't have it.
You can purchase it with Ethereum, but you don't have to. And they also include the gas fees, which is basically the transaction fees that are associated with any transactions of a non-fungible token included within it. So it kind of makes it a lot easier to digest for a first-time individual who wants to get involved in this whole ordeal.
Right.
It is very fascinating, and I do think that we're going to see a lot more larger companies start partnering specifically with Nifty Gateway.
Yeah.
Sotheby's is like one of the very first ones. But we've seen, you know, I think I'll probably say their biggest partnership or getting an artist involved is probably The Weeknd. What do you think?
Yeah, The Weeknd was a big one for sure.
Got a lot of attention.
I think he sold like one of his songs too on there, a new song.
But it's not like they're selling the copyright ownership of that song.
Yeah.
They're selling the NFT, so it is like one of one, but you're not getting to the opportunity to sell that song to the, you know, play it on the radio and sell it as an album.
Right.
You can't capitalize on it. I do think, I do think that will become something that will become more prominent in the future. But right now, it's actually very advantageous to the artist, because the artist can set it within the non-fungible token contract that every time that piece is sold, they get a transaction fee. So the more often that that piece is transferred to another individual, the more money the original artist makes.
Yeah.
And in general, on Nifty Gateway, I found that a lot of the artists get around 15%, something like that.
Interesting.
Which is a lot of money. So you got to take that into account when you're buying the open edition, because then you're going to have to, if you want to make a profit, you got to sell it for a minimum of 15% higher than the original price that you paid for.
Yeah, that's something that I don't think a lot of people really take into account. I mean, I think it's a great thing for the artists themselves, because obviously this is one path that blockchain is offering for artists and musicians to actually, you know, reap more of the benefits of their own creation.
Yeah.
Right. So you can put in the smart contract how much you get every time that piece is sold, whatever that is.
I've seen people, I've seen artists raise their transaction fee to like 17% too. So it can go up. And I think that's an important piece of information. They explicitly state that prior to you purchasing it, but you should read the fine print, you know? Yeah,
I think it's something that a lot of people miss, so.
Yeah, and so with the open marketplace, you can go on there, you can reorganize it and see what items are available that you can buy directly from the other person who purchased it, perhaps originally, or purchased it from another person at another point in time. And honestly, I have not seen any NFTs go for like under $100 in a long time now.
Yeah, me too.
It used to be prominent, and you can see the transactions of every single NFT. And in 2020, like even just December, it was not that crazy to see NFTs being sold for $100 or $200.
Yeah.
Even in January. But now it's so rare, and it's also extremely rare to see a drawing that you can enter for the opportunity of getting an NFT for a dollar.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Sometimes
either.
In all honesty, in the last couple of weeks, I have to say that it has seemed a little bit like the artist is trying to take it perhaps too far, take too much advantage of this perhaps bubble.
Yeah.
And it is accelerating at a massive rate.
It is.
And if you really look into the details of it, you can actually see that people are really creating like funds where they're taking other people's money and then purchasing NFTs with their money as like an investment group.
Yeah, we've done a lot of digging on Nifty Gateway, and we have found lots of like different capital groups, and
they own a lot.
And they
own
a lot of it. And there's no, I mean, maybe one person could, and honestly, someone could just say, hey, I'm a capital group, right? Mm-hmm. But really, we've been finding so many that it's obvious that it's kind of part of an investment strategy for some companies that are wanting to, you know, who have clients who want to actually get in on it,
right,
but don't really want to be bothered with like what they should actually spend their money on.
Yeah. So I would say in general, and I'm curious if you would agree with this, Nifty Gateway is probably the website that you should be most aware of overhyped, you know, like this NFT is way overhyped, and it's more just like it's getting more attention than it deserves. And that's just my vibe with it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to OpenSea, it's not so much that it's like being overhyped as much as because it's OpenSea, like because it's a free, it is as similar to like eBay free market.
Yeah.
You're buying directly from the artist. Who is the artist? How many are they going to create? Could they create more?
Yeah.
You're kind of losing a bit of that structure that perhaps a lot of us are looking for to confirm that, you know, it's very easy for someone to say, I'm only going to make 20 of these, and then you recreate it and then make another 20 of these. But you could, I guess, go back into the log of the transactions and see which ones were first edition, which ones are second. But you would have to go into the logs to figure that out versus it being explicitly stated in the image itself or in the description itself.
Yeah.
And who's the true artist of it? There's nothing holding anyone back currently from being able to take a picture of someone's art. Maybe you own the art itself and it's hanging on your wall, but you're not the artist, but you're going to create a non-fungible token of an art piece in your house. You can take that scanned image, and you can post it on OpenSea and sell it. But do you have the right to do so if you're the owner, but you're not the artist? Gets very complicated.
Yeah, there are clearly a lot of questions that still need to be answered in this space. This is a new space. A lot of people are paying attention to it. I think more so because art and collectibles, those are things that we understand innately already because we have things physical that we can compare it to.
Right.
But I think in terms of this, what this new digital NFT world, how this will all shake out will be very interesting. And that's kind of why we're, you know, really even deep diving into Nifty Gateway, because it obviously has some components that we think obviously people do want, right? Like the vetting process, the verification that this is actually the artist, the verification that no other editions will ever be minted of this piece, right? Yes. And, you know,
you can verify that to a certain degree based on the token itself being publicly shared.
Right, exactly. But I guess on the other side too, if you do want to be, you know, I mean, we love the concept of free market, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think most people kind of appreciate a structure in which they feel like a little bit more comfortable. Like this is, because there are so many questions, and I guarantee you there will be scams. I guarantee you there will be, you know, issues with people, you know, and copyright and all that stuff. All that stuff really does need to get, you know, answered, and that will just take time. Yeah. But what's interesting is we were actually talking with a few people who are really deep into the NFT world. And, you know, I thought one thing that one of the guys said was really interesting about, you know, when you're an artist right now, artists are just trying to get the money, right? Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get as much. And that kind of speaks to what you were saying. Like there's a percentage a lot of times with Nifty Gateway that the artist will get, you know, a large percentage. So if you're trying to resell, you know, it's good for the artist and we totally support that. But then it's also something that you need to consider if you're trying to, like, you know, resell it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Because that's not necessarily the case, obviously, with, you know, physical pieces. So
it's complicated. It's very complicated. I also want to bring up the one question that was brought up to us from one of our listeners. Shout out, Bob. Appreciate you. And he brought up the problem with having too much trust into, like, a cloud system is it's quite possible that the cloud company itself, like, let's just talk, like, in general form, like Dropbox. If you put all of your belongings into a digital format and stored them on Dropbox, so like your photos or your videos, if you put them on there, if for some reason Dropbox shuts down or they find a flaw, you lose it. It's kind of gone with the wind. And the concern is that if you're owning a Nifty, how do we know that there's going to be trust in the system, that the system will still exist? And I do think because it's decentralized, it has a higher likelihood of existing. Though we are now seeing countries that are banning cryptocurrencies. So that's another interesting factor.
That's to their own disadvantage, I think. But there's also, remember, you can take your NFT, no matter where you buy it, you can take it off chain. Yeah. You can put it on a hardware device.
And that is great. But the other factor that is important to bring up is the NFTs, they also could be, whoever creates them has demonstrated the ability that they can disassociate the image or the video associated with that token, and then all of a sudden you got something different. And that was really, that was an art piece in itself. Someone created a collection of digital masks, and then he called the piece like pulling the carpet right under your feet, something like that. And all of a sudden he switched all the masks out for carpets, got a ton of attention. It really put that artist on the map, but it demonstrated that there's still some flaws with this whole system. That's why I do think if you're getting it from Nifty Gateway, you're at least kind of getting a little bit more, I want to call it regulation, but a little bit more structure behind it. Versus if it's OpenSea, it's kind of like, that's where you could really get like massive rewards and get things really cheap. But at the same time, There's more risk associated with it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And I just to finish what the guy who we were talking to, who's been in the NFT world like since way before, you know, it all kind of came about in the news and the zeitgeist now, is he was saying, you know, right now artists are just trying to get the money, and that's okay because we support that. But at the same time, it's kind of short-sighted. It's like you're kind of, I mean, I guess, it's almost making a bubble in of itself, right? Yeah. So he said it's important for artists eventually, and hopefully sooner than later, to when they're creating something, when they're creating an NFT and they're minting their editions of that NFT, like, how else could it be used? How else could it be used other than just something that people collect? Can it be used in a different way on the blockchain and the digital space?
I think that's an important thing that people need to have a further discussion on, because we're just tapping into the possibilities of what can be done.
Yep.
And there are many utilities that can be done using smart contracts with NFTs. I'll give a really, really brief example. One would be in the NBA Top Shot. If you want to get a special pack, like a whole new set of cards, you can sometimes collect certain types of cards. And if you fulfill the requirement, then you get one of those packs. So it's like bringing those cards together earns you the right to a more rare pack. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So if you're an artist, perhaps you're creating something one of a kind. I think one of the ones we heard about are these digital pizzas.
Yeah.
Now, if you bring the pizzas together, now maybe you get a whole new set and now it's a more rare pizza.
Yeah.
Same has been done with CryptoKitties, which is probably the most famous non-fungible token. Came out a while ago, but now they've made it more of a game where if you breed the kittens, then you get more unique types, but sometimes they could be worth less. Sometimes they can become very, very rare, one of a kind. And that's how one freaking CryptoKitty ended up selling for I don't know if it broke 100K. It was a lot of freaking money, though.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's kind of forgotten about CryptoKitties after Beeple, but
they're still around. Go check it out.
Around.
It's a different company, but you can get involved in it. And I think you can buy a CryptoKitty as low as $15. But then the whole breeding thing, and is this going to be a game where you can actually make money, or is it a game where it's just something that
playing.
You do for fun?
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah, me too. Another interesting thing that we've kind of been hearing about is, especially when it comes to these DJs who are making, songs, and if people are actually buying their song, right? So Blau, for example, or Steve Aoki, they both did collections and people bought their stuff, and they actually sold full songs, full length songs, not just a little clip. And something creative that I don't know if it's actually been done yet or not, but what they could do, what Steve Aoki could do is say, okay, everyone who owns this NFT, hey, if you still own it, now I can see who owns it. Mm-hmm. And you 100 individuals who own one of my first NFTs in this song, I want you to have access, VIP access to this tour,
right? Yeah, you could get some type of reward. This hasn't been done yet.
But it's an idea.
I think that it would bring a lot of attention to it, and it would increase the value of their pieces too.
Yeah.
They could even say I made 3 pieces. Anyone who owns all 3 gets access to the VIP section whenever I come to your local city.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what that's going to do to anyone who owns even just one of them?
Yeah.
It's going to jump the price up significantly because everyone's going to try to get their hands on all 3 in order to get the opportunity to go to the VIP.
Yeah.
There's so many ways that it can be done. I'm excited to see how it pans out. I think the last thing that I want to bring up is a lot of people are like, well, why do you want this? I understand with Top Shot, you don't really display your NBA moment of LeBron James making a dunk, but the NFTs that are on Nifty Gateway, those are what I would very confidently state pieces of art. They are something that are beautiful and one of a kind. Sometimes they're silly, but more often than not, they're intriguing. They got music. They got some kind of video. They capture your attention. They are defined as art, and therefore people want to display them in different ways. And we'll have another conversation about how they can be displayed in the virtual world or the metaverse or Decentraland. But in the physical world, they can also be displayed. And Nifty Gateway has put together a plan and a form, a way for you to be able to display it, whether it be on your TV screen or on your computer screensaver. There's many ways where you can take that token that you own and then post it in the physical world for people to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's too crazy to say that in the near future, we're going to see museums that are filled with non-fungible tokens.
I agree with that. And I agree. I mean, you might see them in the elevators of a fancy hotel. You might see them in hotels. I mean, just think about wall space. And if you could actually just, you know, have a digital piece right there and making, you know, the actual physical environment even more interesting. So really cool stuff. And, you know, I'm glad that we actually had a conversation about Nifty Gateway. It's one of those things that mm-hmm. we've actually been, you know, engaging with for a while now. And I'm surprised that we haven't had a conversation about it, but I hope you all, you know, felt like you learned a little bit. If you want, just go check out, it's just niftygateway.com, and we have the link in the description. So,
and if you followed this one, we will have another episode on the collection that I was originally intending on discussing, but then I realized that there's probably a lot that needs to be explained prior to that. So I'm grateful we got a chance to explain that. Stay tuned. We will have a conversation about PAX fungible collection, and we appreciate you. We can't wait to talk to you all tomorrow.
We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Enjoy this journey through sound.